Our reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan seven times at the word of Elijah, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole ritu to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elijah and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elijah replied, "As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have two mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All the ends of the earth have A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Have you liked the weather this week? Did I hear no's? When it hit 90, was that too hot? We had some days in the 40s. Was that too cold? Come on, it's Michigan. These are spectacular days. What's the range of weather inside of which we don't complain? For some of us, it can be really narrow. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but who here knows that they have a problem with complaining, criticizing, fault-finding, and generally speaking, being characteristically negative? Oops, I'm not raising my hand. And I really won't ask you to raise your hands now, but who here thinks they know people who are this way but won't admit it? Actually, I think another way to ask this question is, because these things determine our outlook. Are you more happy or are you more depressed? That can be a tough one for some of us. Are you more content or discontent? Or in the words of the readings today, are you more thankful to God for all that He has done? Or more aware of what you think He has not done? All that He has done? Or all that He hasn't done? The first and the third readings today both obviously involve the healing of lepers. Although that's powerful in itself and worthy of note, what makes these incidents even more remarkable is that both of these lepers were foreigners. Naaman was a commander in the Syrian army. Now, not only was Syria an enemy of Israel, they were actively at war with Israel. And he was their main commander. He sort of got into this because they captured a little Jewish girl who he happened to meet. Doesn't Elisha know that you're not supposed to aid the enemy? Pick an unlikely person for Elisha to heal. It's the commander of the army of the guy that's fighting Israel. The one leper of 10 who returned was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans got along about as well as Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland. They didn't like one another. And here it is, two foreigners getting healed inside of Israel or by Jewish prophets. When it was the Jewish people themselves that had the promises, had the covenant, had the kings, had the promised land. When Elisha would not accept any payment from Naaman, get this, Naaman wanted to take the very earth of Israel upon which he could then pray to the one he knew now was the one true God in Israel or out of Israel. When Jesus heals 10 lepers, it's one of those hated Samaritans that returned to personally thank Jesus. The implication is that the other 9 were Jewish. I think we can safely surmise that God's not restricted to operate in the boxes in which we put Him. If He doesn't find active faith among us, He'll find it elsewhere. So what do you take from this story of the 10 lepers? Are you the one, or are you one of the 9? Now, in your column is the fact that being here counts for something. That's a good sign. Better than not being here. Some of us here may be the Samaritan, and some of us here may be like the 9, but I would venture most of us here are somewhere between properly grateful, like the Samaritan, and completely ungrateful. But this is what caught my attention this week about these passages. Why are we not all properly grateful? What percentage of the world do you think would rather be you? Okay. Would you rather live in Haiti? Would you rather live in Afghanistan? Would you rather live in most places in the southern hemisphere, Africa? I'm not talking about the big houses on the water in Grosse Pointe. I'm not talking about the guy next door with the big place up north. I'm talking about the percentages of the world. That's a very small percentage of the human beings on the face of the earth. How many of them look on you with envy? Do you have food, shelter, clothing? I didn't look it up. What percentage of the world doesn't even have clean water? It's pretty high. Do you have people who love you? Most important of all, do you have the gift of faith? So why are we not all dancing in delight? Why? Doesn't it make sense that we should be? Because of our overflowing abundance of God's good graces. Why are we not properly grateful? Compared to most of the other people on the face of the earth, what do we have to complain about or to criticize? But we do. That's a good question to think about. I recommend it to your reflection. I'll give you a couple of thoughts. I think we're not properly grateful because we don't know the extent of our good fortune. And we don't know the extent of our good fortune because we don't know God as He can be known. In the passages today, leprosy is certainly an image for sin. Leprosy is a horrible disfiguration of the physical body. Sin slimes and pollutes our spirit, like leprosy disfigures our physical body. I like that image of sin sliming us. That's what it does. Now, be clear about this. You and I are the lepers of the story. God has healed us through baptism, through His Holy Spirit, through heavenly food. He's done infinitely more for us than He did for any of those lepers. Now, the nine lepers get in trouble for what they did not do. They get in trouble for what they didn't do. Not what they did do. We often place undue attention on the wrong we think we did, not enough attention on the good we failed to do. Now, I've said this before, but it's so typical. I mean, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a year and a half since my last confession. Last week, I didn't go to church because I was in the hospital for these and for all the sins of my past life. I'm heartily sorry. Some version of that. I'm saying, well, do you think it's a sin if you miss Mass because you're sick in the hospital? I feel really bad about it. Well, is there anything in your life in the last year and a half that God is more concerned about than you missing Mass when you're in the hospital? You would be surprised how often I hear something like this. Oh, no, Father. And then I really don't know what to say. Usually it's something like, well, go home and pray because I think Jesus can come up with something. It's so focused on, you know, like I didn't steal no apples and, you know, didn't really knife anybody and haven't committed any of the big sins. But I'm saying what I think God is most concerned in the lives of most of us, it's not the bad we're doing, but the good we're not. Are we praying like we should, do we talk about the good news to those in our families and friends and at work like it's our mission as disciples? Do we pray? Do we trust God? Are we the example we should be? We'll be held accountable for those things. The 9 lepers didn't do anything wrong. They failed to do the thing that was right. And this is what they forgot to do. They forgot to go to Jesus. They forgot to go to Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to go to Jesus. Because we do not go to Jesus as often and as frequently as we should. They went to Jesus once when they were healed. We don't go to Jesus consistently and receive from him what he would so eagerly give us. We more quickly see and perceive what we think he is not doing. We're just not as clear on all the things that he is doing. And maybe why he isn't doing some of the things we think he should be doing. Because we don't go to Jesus. There's a message I feel like the Lord wants me to say over and over again, and I'm certainly making an attempt to do it, is that each and every one of us needs to pray. Pray every day. Coming here is good. It's real good. It's essential. I say again and again, essential and not sufficient. Like air. Air is essential, isn't it? Can you live on air? You need more than air, don't you? And we need more than just this. We need to hear his word regularly. We need to hear his voice. We need his direction. We need his spiritual protection. We need his revelations to what's going on so that we can enter it more fully. This need to pray every day, it's not a duty to execute, it's a relationship to develop. Oh man, one more thing, I don't have time, I don't like to do that. Well, that's really not the disposition to learning to know the one who is perfect love. The one who made you and saved you. This is really going to be the best thing about your life. Because whatever form this takes, whether it's going to weekday mass, praying the rosary, studying the Bible, reading spiritual books, or what we all need to do at times is just be quiet before the Lord, these things change us. We see things way more the way God sees them. We have our burdens lifted, our guilt washed away. And our mind sees what God is doing. Some of us are heavy spirited, tending to be depressed. The biblical remedy for depression is praise. Isaiah 61:3 says that God gives us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We're made for the glory of God, the Bible says. Any scene of heaven has us doing this for a really long time. Do you think the angels and saints who night and day praise and bless and extol the living God, do you think they're depressed? That image makes me smile. I think they're really happy. They're just lost in contentment and wonder and glory. Because they see God. Hey, we can join them. That's what we do when we pray. In his gratitude for his healing, Naaman wanted to offer a gift to God. I love this instinct. He wanted to do something in return. A natural human instinct. I always remember David's comment when he wanted to do something for the Lord. Again, wanted to thank him. And he said, I don't want to offer to God a gift that doesn't cost me anything. How about that? I don't want to offer to God a gift that doesn't cost me anything. He wanted to give something out of his heart. What he didn't want to do is what the stereotypical neglecting parent does when he says, I haven't spent much time with my kid. I'm too busy at work, so for Christmas, I'm going to buy him the biggest bicycle I can find. It's not really the gift that's needed. Something more costly is required. You've been healed of more than Naaman. What gift do you want to offer to God? I suggest you ask, what's the gift that God most wants you to offer? You know, your heart, your mind, yourself, which inevitably involves your time. You want to be more like Naaman? Grateful for being saved? You want to be more aware of what God is doing and not deceived about what you think he's not? Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus every day. You'll see better. And your faith will save you too.